The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Delighted to welcome to the studio Aisling Maloney, political correspondent of the Irish Daily Mail, and Hugh O'Connell, who of course has moved now to the promotion of political editor with the Sunday Times Group. You're both welcome because we're feeling a bit left out between the American election and TV debates, all that's going on in the UK, and of course Sunday to Sunday in France. When are we going to get our own election? We're into the fifth year now since the last general election, and it's insights we want. So, you wrote a story on Sunday, Hugh, to say that there was an FG edict to say that all conventions had to be held by a certain date in September. What's happening?
Yeah, that's right. So Fine Gael's National Executive met last month, probably about 10 days ago now at this stage, and determined that all of their selection conventions should be completed by the 22nd of September, so the end of the third week of September. And that, to my mind and the minds of others who I spoke to across the coalition, is a concrete sign that Fine Gael is getting its ducks in a row and preparing for the possibility of a general election this year. Now, Fine Gael has a bit more work to do than other parties in terms of identifying candidates because of the like a dozen TDs retiring, stepping down at the next election. Next election, and probably a few more to come as well. Leo Varadkar, Simon Coveney, Michael Ring, possibly. So that combined with Fianna Fáil also carrying out a number of significant number of conventions in July is all going to fuel speculation. I believe Fianna Fáil's manifesto work on that is already underway. It's all going to fuel speculation. There's going to be an election shortly after the budget, probably sometime in November.
What's your feeling, Aisling, insofar as there's three things you need for an election? You need money, you need candidates, and you need a manifesto. Where are they at?
Well, all of those things are in train. As you say, money, we just had elections there, so they're all feeling the pinch from last month's local and European elections. Candidates, as we were talking there about Fine Gael, they've already held actually three of their selection conventions in areas where they don't currently have sitting TDs, in Waterford, my home constituency, in South Tipperary, and in Dublin Bay South. I think Dublin Bay South was one of the first general election selection conventions that was held, and James Gagan, who is now the Lord Mayor of Dublin, was selected there and he topped the poll. So that'll be kind of a bellwether for Fine Gael.
Kate O'Connell.
Well, exactly. There's a lot of questions about who they will run in that constituency. It could be they could run two people, of course, because you have Eamon Ryan stepping down there in that constituency. So very interesting stuff happening. But also, I suppose the timing of this, I was speaking to senior ministers about the timing of the election. And while there's a lot of excitement and a lot of, people jumping up and down about having an election after the budget and pre-Christmas, amongst senior levels of government and in the parliamentary parties, I suppose very senior ministers are saying, well, look, there's a logistics issue here in terms of getting a finance bill, announcing a budget, and then getting a finance bill across the line. I mean, that usually actually takes between October and December. So now there's some talk about, could they do a bikini finance bill, you know, cover the basics and get it through as quick as possible. But some senior ministers have said to me that that would kind of go against this message of fiscal prudence, fiscal sensibility, or as that the coalition, and especially Fianna Fáil, have been trying to rebrand themselves as in this last government. So there's those kind of considerations as well. But if anything, Ivan, we've seen through COVID that when there's a will, there's a way with government. If they want to do something, the chairs can be moved, you know, all that stuff on the deck and the Titanic can be moved if needed.
Is it confirmed that the budget will be on the 8th of October? Because if you do it, even do the financial resolutions, the bikini, as you said, or the bare minimum, and there's no they don't have to do the full finance bill. So the earliest you could really dissolve the door if it's the 8th is the 10th, say on the Thursday after that, to go as quick as you could through things. And if you go for a 4-week campaign, that gets you to, and they probably want a longer campaign, it gets you to mid-November.
Well, I think any political coverage isn't that around the time of the US election as well? Yeah, it would all be very, very busy. I know you were saying the 15th.
No, so my question is, could the budget be earlier?
I don't think it will be. I mean, my understanding is they're working towards a budget on the 8th of October. We were just talking about it outside, actually, the summer economic statement. I'd expect that probably next week.
Yeah.
Next week, I would have thought the last week of the Dáil, although not the last week that the Cabinet will sit. It'll sit for much of July, or meet for much of July, I think. But the 15th of November, I think, is a decent bet if it's going to be this year. There's a rugby international, I think, on
the previous weekend. The All Blacks are in town, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a concern, I think, that Fine Gael voters, and maybe some Fianna Fáil voters as well, and maybe some Sinn Féin voters even, wouldn't necessarily be
up Sinn Féin, because, yeah. I mean, one of the temptations of going early is Sinn Féin reeling from the body blow, yeah. getting less than 12%. What is happening in terms of, so they did a remarkable thing, Sinn Féin, of reinventing themselves between 2019 and 2020, different elections, local and Euros in general. What is the story about what Sinn Féin might do to recover their position?
Well, I think we're still kind of figuring that out, and we're still kind of, I'm kind of observing what they're doing on a weekly basis in the Dáil, and it seems to be a bit of a back to basics approach, really hammering stuff like housing, for example, and talking about the situation in Oscar Traynor Road with this land that the council gave to a developer, and now these houses being sold at
the affordable ones.
Well,
yeah.
They say they're not affordable, there's a debate about that. Although they are below market price, I think most of them, but certainly, you know, a house of €475,000 wouldn't be affordable to an awful lot of people. On kind of middle incomes. So I think we're still, as I said, we're still kind of figuring out what Sinn Féin are doing, but I think it is a back-to-basics approach. It's going to be majoring on housing, but I think they are going to have to sort of get a very coherent message around housing that isn't necessarily just giving out about the government's policy on housing, because the government policy on housing has had some effect, I think, in terms of getting more people on the housing ladder, more home completions. And
in any event, there's going to be a step change in housing because of the upgrade from Housing for All 34,000 to maybe 53,000 and so on. In terms of Sinn Féin, Aisling, if you dissect it, instead of the mantra of change, some detailed policy that's credible. One of the things that I thought Sinn Féin might do to help themselves is, remember the time of rotating Taoiseach? Mm-hmm. Mary Lou came out and said, if we go into government, there'll be no rotating mm-hmm. Taoiseach. Which, in other words, it's we're going to be the largest party and all that. If they were to roll back from that and say, look, the Labour Party, the PDs over the years, any smaller party, these are our policies, we're looking for a mandate, and we're prepared to go into government under any open negotiation. Would that be a sea change for them, to show a little humility?
It would be a sea change for them, but I'm not so sure that that's the strategy that they will or should take, because the people who voted for Sinn Féin in 2020, I think, they voted for them because they weren't Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Yes.
And that's even more so now because Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been in government. So I think to do that is actually they'd be walking a bit of a risky tightrope between people who want to see, you know, Mary Lou as Sinn Féin leader be unapologetic about wanting to be Taoiseach and having that full control that you talk about. So I think while it could sway those middle voters who have once voted for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and could potentially lend their vote to Sinn Féin, there's a huge swathe of younger people, and I would be in the demographic that, you know, of that demographic that probably they're not interested in local and European politics. They didn't vote in this election that we just saw. And I don't think that really finite policy is actually where that they'll be looking at. It will be that kind of thing about this housing argument. Sinn Féin will have to have a more convincing argument, because while the housing crisis is still very dire for a lot of people, there have been houses built since 2020. So there's no way that you can go in and say that the government has done nothing. But for a lot of people, it feels like they've done nothing. And that's where Sinn Féin will push even further, I think, because it's where that they could make the most gains. Convincing maybe a section of the population who are maybe a bit older and have voted for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, it's actually a little bit more of a risk than capitalising on this very maybe passionate, mobilised group of younger voters who feel very hard done by.
Can Sinn Féin turn it around? It seems like it's such a collapse from where they were to 12%. Now, I know like the advantage that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil had of incumbency, 250 odd councillors, actually falls to Sinn Féin a bit more because they have 37 TDs in this election. Do you think it's possible for Sinn Féin to turn around?
Look, I think anything is possible in politics, right? But I think the factors that exist now are different from 2019 to 2020, when they had this remarkable recovery Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are moving in lockstep together. That was less the case in 2020, although voters were more kind of cynical about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael having been in confidence to supply for 4 years. Now you can see from the local and European elections those kind of transfer patterns where they're almost a self-contained bloc in and of themselves. And then with Sinn Féin, I don't say they got lucky, but they got a couple of bounces of the ball in the 2020 campaign.
It was the pensions issue.
They had a very clear policy on that, put it back to 65. I think that really, really counted for them. Mary Lou being locked out, as Sinn Féin would have had it from the debates between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, and eventually getting into that space and then just looking the part, I think, in those debates and acting the part and speaking the part and just being really convincing, I think. And also, I do think incumbency does matter for those 30, I think it's 36, 37 TDs, whatever it is. But I do think that some of those TDs who got elected in 2020 didn't expect to get elected. We all know the famous example of Patricia Ryan in Kildare South, who went on holiday. But some of those TDs, frankly, I don't think have been particularly, and this is what I hear from other TDs in their areas, is they're not particularly great TDs. They
haven't
good representatives. So, and I think that could count against them.
So there's also a lot that can happen in general election campaign.
Campaigns matter. So Micheál Martin is in the news. Anything you can do with the 36-year-old Taoiseach, I can do with the 33-year-old deputy leader, and all that good stuff. He really has asserted his control without dispute now in the party. And I suppose he's eyeing up, you know, if they win a seat in Louth and a few other areas where they missed out in Meath and so on, the commuter belt last time in Kildare, he's eyeing up 45 seats and he'll have first dibs if the government is re-elected in some form, being Taoiseach again.
Well, yeah, and especially because he's not ruled out doing some sort of a deal with Sinn Féin, although I think it will be very difficult for Fianna Fáil to sell that to their grassroots. And I think often the path of least resistance is the one that you already came from, which was the coalition. But yes, Micheál Martin, very interestingly, I think, you know, we hear a lot from, you know, backbench TDs about their frustration with Micheál Martin as the party leader, not listening to them, not taking on their advice or their concerns. But essentially, none of that has ever won over the fact that he's so popular. The fact that Micheál Martin as the leader of Fianna Fáil, or just as our party leader, has been so popular. And even amongst people my age,
His approval ratings
have always been incredibly high. And even among people my age who would not be Fianna Fáil voters, often talk about their fondness for Micheál Martin.
Yeah, he's seen
Martin
as fair-minded.
Absolutely.
And respecting GAA and all
and
that.
So
my question is really to both of you, who do you think will be the next Taoiseach after the next election?
Good question. I think it'll be...
That's look, where they pay the big bucks.
I'll go first.
It's only a guess.
I mean, on current polling, on the current trajectory, I would say that... and I think the fact that Fianna Fáil has less of a problem with incumbents standing down, they have a good chance of being the largest party, and that would mean they get first go in a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and other coalition of being Taoiseach. So I think that puts Micheál Martin in pole position. But I think
you're presuming there that if they fall short of the 88 seats, that a group of independents will come
to
them.
I think that's very likely. I think they'll be able to cobble together a programme for government with
Gene Pool
independents. Just where we started on the election... Don't rule out this government going the full term. You know, you still speak to people at a very senior level in government who are not convinced there's an argument to go in November. They still think it should go all the way to March 2025.
But you're a victim of circumstances then.
A victim of circumstances then. And I do think we're in a bit of a political dead zone post the budget.
Even if they were going to have an autumn election, they can't say so because they want to be seen to be very seriously occupied. So who do you think will be the next?
Well, I think if there's a deal being done with Sinn Féin, I don't see Mary Lou saying that she wouldn't be the first one in a rotation. So even regardless of numbers, I think it will be kind of a red line for them. They'll want to be seen to have her in post out the traps, and then it might be a rotation with Micheál Martin or maybe some sort of a progressive alliance of the left. We saw Roger O'Gorman and talking about this idea of a progressive alliance if he's
and Roderick O'Gorman to be the next leader of the Greens.
I'd be surprised if they
next
opted
Monday
for Pippa Hackett.
The interesting thing is what will he do with Ryan in cabinet if he's not
I think he'll leave him where it is.
I think he's more or less indicated that he's not going to move anyone.
That is insane.
Well, that's your opinion.
You never have a point of view where if you're not standing in the election, like if Pascal Donohue hadn't said he was, you know, going to stand the next election, he wouldn't be minister today. I mean, that's a ground rule. All right, we will resume this discussion, I have no doubt. My sincere thanks to Hugh O'Connell and Aisling Maloney, respectively of the Sunday Times and the Irish Daily Mail.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.